looking good this morning. I owe you an apology for a couple of reasons. Maybe even repent of hastiness. I said we were going to conclude our series on worship last week, and that today we would be in the book of Ruth, but I misspoke. Just accidental. I almost neglected one of our greatest means of worship, and that's the Lord's table. Not only that, I had said a couple of years ago, or a couple of series ago, that when we concluded a series, we would have the Lord's table, and I almost made that same transition. So, got under conviction about it early in the week and talked to some of our deacons and said, guys, I like to mess up, so we're going to rectify that. We're going to worship through the Lord's table today, and recognize it for what it is. It's a command for us to do. Christ said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And it was in a gathered assembly in the upper room, and I'm going to preach a sermon on that, so I don't want to talk too much just yet. But anyway, we're gathering around the Lord's table today, and I apologize to you because I generally give you a week advanced heads up to know that we're coming to the Lord's table because I want you to prepare your heart for what it is. I don't want you to take lightly the elements that are before you. I know that it's bread and it's juice, and the deacons set the table up, and in a little while at the conclusion of sermon, they'll pass it out, and you partake of these elements, and you know, I just don't want it to become something that you don't recognize what it is. It's a celebration and a remembrance. We call it communion. It means that we're at one with Christ and we're at one with one another. It reminds us that it's His body that was given for us and His blood that was poured out for us that makes us right before a holy and righteous God. And there's no other means by which that can happen. And that we anticipate His return. So that we can be redeemed and glorified and be in His presence forever. So as you look this morning at the table that's before you, I want you to feel the weight of what it is. It's not just bread and juice. For the children that are up here, I say it's not snack time. For parents, it's not snack time. It's the body of Christ and His blood that has redeemed us that we're remembering through these elements. I'm not a transubstantiationist. I'm not saying that that is actually the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. We're not cannibalistic. But don't just see it as some bread and juice. It's so much more. There's a spiritual weightiness to what you're testifying when you partake of these elements. And out of love, I just ask you, if you're not a child of God through the blood of Christ, let it pass. I'm not going to come after you and say, I saw you didn't take the Lord's table today. I want you to be honest. This is about your relationship with Christ and with the church. It's not to impress me or your neighbor. I do look good this morning. I'm not trying to get on to you, okay? Smile a little bit. Some of you look like. I know I'm coming a little bit hard, but I was so bothered when I realized that I did not plan this as our worship series, and I wrote. And those that know me well know this is not me. I wrote my points out on my calendar months ago, just what I was going to preach each week. And I've looked at that calendar. But I'm thankful to God that He doesn't operate in my plans. And that He reminded me of who He is and what we should do. So anyway, glad you're here this morning. I want to ask you if you would. To stand in honor and reverence for reading God's Word. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. There's multiple Gospel accounts of the Lord's table and its institution. I'm going to read Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. We're going to look at a few of those. We're going to look at what Christ is telling us. And then we are going to, at the end of the service, we're going to partake in the Lord's table. I want you to, in this time, just as I'm preaching through this, be thinking about and listening, but at the same time, prayerfully considering and preparing yourself to partake of the elements. Luke 22, 14 through 20. The scene is the upper room. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Father God, I ask that through a humble servant this morning, that you would speak. Give me the words to speak, as you have spoken through your word now as we've read it. God, that you would magnify your name through me. You would prepare our hearts for this table that is before us. That we would feel the gravity. And at the same time know the joy of what it means. That we can be delivered from the bondage of sin and slavery to it. Be delivered or have been delivered by the blood from the condemnation of hell and your wrath. We have been redeemed and purchased by what we remember in these elements, the body of Christ given, the blood poured out. And Lord, there's a day when we will be reconciled fully and glorified, fully in your presence, sin no longer present in our lives. Joyfully communing with one another without all the difficulties and stresses that we experience. Lord, help us today to see this clearly. That your name be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sermon is writing itself as I'm standing in the pulpit. We come before this table, we remember. It's what Christ said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. It's a call for us to reflect upon what this table means. And so we want to do that today. And we remember, first and foremost, that it's God's deliverance. As Christ says, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. It takes our mind, it takes the mind of his contemporary listeners, the apostles that are present. It draws their mind all the way back to the Passover in its primacy, in the very beginning. And so I'm going to turn back, and I'll ask you if you want to, or if you would, flip back in your Bible to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to pick up the context of what Jesus is speaking about is he is referencing a Passover. It's the time of the Passover, and he's gathered with his apostles in the upper room in the time of preparation here. And Jesus is about to make profound, or is making a profound statement in what is about to take place. We know that shortly after the upper room, they go out into the to the garden, and we know that Jesus prays, and he prays that the cup would pass if it was able, but nonetheless, knowing that it wasn't able, God's will be done. All of this is coming into view. All of this is about to be played out, and Jesus, before the beginning of it, says, I have desired to take this Passover with you. So what does it mean? What is Christ declaring to be happening here? Jump with me back to Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read the first 29 verses. I really want to read all the chapter, but I'm going to try to behave. We'll see. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's household, a lamb for a house. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Remember that. Without blemish, a male, a year old, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all of the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold an assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. Or you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this day I brought you and your host, brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Large numbers. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. Let's move on down 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house, of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, and from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said. Be gone. Bless me also." This meal is a meal of remembrance. Jesus is setting forth on this very night what we'll be doing as a remembrance from then on. Points back to he desired for this Passover. It's a reminder that the lives of Israel was spared by the covering of blood. This is the table that we're looking at. This grape juice is to remind us of the blood that covers us, that delivers us from sin and bondage to it. As Jesus points back to the Passover, he's reminding those who are present, the apostles, that God delivered Israel from the captivity of Pharaoh, the enemy of God, the wickedness that had oppressed them and held them in bondage and enslaved them. And by doing so, Jesus is declaring that he will deliver us from the bondage of sin that enslaves us to it. In the book of Romans, Paul says that you'll be a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. By the covering of the blood, we're no longer a slave to sin, but are a slave to righteousness, and our master is a good master. Oh, don't miss what the Lord's table reminds us of, is that God has set us free. I hope you know that. I hope you've tasted the freedom of the grace of God in your life. Next, we remember God's faithfulness as a covenant keeper. It's all been about covenants from the beginning. God is faithful because he has said he would be. He has delivered us because he has said that he would. Oh, please don't think that it's anything in you that merited God's favor because you're so good. It's God's grace. It's because of the covenant that he has kept from the beginning. In Genesis 3:15, he promises that he will send a victor. After Adam and Eve had fallen, after Satan had tempted them, had led them away into rebellion against God, God gave a judgment. And he promised to send a seed from the woman, a child from the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. In a covenant promise. As we take of this table, we remember the covenants of God. In Genesis 8, we have the Noadic covenant, which is that God would not again destroy the world with a flood on behalf of the wickedness of man. Go and read in Genesis 6 and the wickedness of man, the thoughts of man was continually wicked always. From the least to the greatest of them, they all were wicked. And then it says, but Noah found favor with the Lord. God's covenant to keep a people that was established in Exodus. Was established in Genesis 3:15. I'm sorry, I glanced down the wrong spot. It's being maintained. In Genesis chapter 8, God didn't destroy them all. The victor had not yet came into the world to crush the head of the serpent. But God had become angry with his creation, and he was going to destroy it with water. But he made a Noadic covenant through the rainbow. You can go and read Genesis 8, 20 through 22. He delivered Noah and his three sons and all of their four wives. So eight people were delivered through the flood. And on the backside of it, God promised to never destroy creation with water again. A promise is made. In Genesis chapter 12 is where it begins, but in Genesis chapter 15, we see the covenant between Abraham and God. If you read Genesis 15, what you find out is that God is the only one that entered into the covenant. Abraham was commanded to prepare these sacrifices and lay half of a ram over against the other half of a ram and split all these animals in half so as to say that those who enter into this covenant, the same thing would be done if the covenant is ever broken and Abraham falls into a deep sleep after he's prepared all these animals and the glory of the Lord passed between them and not Abraham. God made a promise and a covenant that he would keep forever. We remember this when we come to the table. That God is faithful. We have a Davidic covenant that God would raise up a king forever from the root of Jesse. We find it in Isaiah chapter 11. Did you hear these words? There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but the righteousness he shall judge, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Look at this reconciliation. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand at the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, lifted up. On him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant from the remains of his people from all nations. They're going to list them here. Some from Syria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations, and will assemble the banished of Israel, and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab and the Ammonites, shall obey them, and the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals, and there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant, the remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. There's a promise to raise up a shoot from the stump of Jesse. God promises a new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. We're following the faithfulness of God. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. We have a faithful God. and we come to this table, we're reminded of all of those things. Cleanse us of our sin and remember our iniquity no more. It's a promise of a new covenant. Oh, church, I hope you didn't miss it. Back in Luke 22, this cup is poured out for you. It's a new covenant in my blood. It's Christ's blood that covers us now. It's not the blood of a sheep or a goat. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. If we come to this table, we're saying we believe that. As we drink of the blood or the juice, we're declaring He's a God that is a covenant keeper. And that our hope is in what this reminds us of. Is that the blood of Christ cleanses us of our iniquities. And that God remembers our sins no more to the praise of His glory. It's what it took. Please don't approach it lightly. It's the blood of the Lamb, the body of Christ. It covers every bit of your sin and makes you right before a holy and righteous God. It reminds us that He's delivered us from bondage. It reminds us that He's faithful to do what He has promised. And finally, as we observe the table, we remember Christ promised to come back. First Corinthians chapter 11. I'll skip down. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The covenant's a promise that He would deliver us by the power of His blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And then there's a warning. And this would be our invitation. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. One is hungry, they meet at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. In other words, this isn't a meal or a snack. This is something far greater. I want to invite you to take a moment to evaluate where you stand before the Lord. says if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged, considered. It's a time, it's an invitation to repent. It's an invitation to be reconciled before the Lord. As we worship through this table of remembrance, I pray you're ready. I pray you're ready by God's grace and by the covering of the blood of the Lamb as the entering into the new covenant that Christ gave and purchased through His own blood. I pray that you're prepared for His return. I pray that you're ready to see the Lord. I pray you're certain that when Christ returns, this time in judgment of the wicked of the world, that you are certain you are covered, and that judgment will pass over. Instead of being condemned, you'll be delivered. Instead of being judged for wickedness, you'll be declared righteous. Is the blood of the Lamb covering you? Let me just say it this way too. In the new covenant, it's not a household. It's you. Kids, your mom can't save you. If she could, she would. I guarantee you. Dad can't either. If he could, he would. Only Christ. Only Christ. So this isn't if a member of a family that's been in church a long time, so I'll take this and because I'm covered, because they're covered. If you're not covered, I invite you today, call upon the name of the Lord. Confess your sins before Him. Ask Him to carry them away. Ask Him to cover you by the blood of the Lamb. And Scripture says that He is faithful and just. 1 John 1:9, if you need the address. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "All who come to me, I'll in no way cast out." John 3:16 says, "Whoever believes shall not perish." Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I'm going to invite Matthew to come and play. I'm going to give you a few moments to reflect over what we've said today. I know it's been short, but hope delivered with power. God has delivered us from the bondage of sin and from the judgment of the wicked by the blood of the Lamb. God has been faithful to His covenants for all eternity. And as Christ in the upper room was sharing of this very table with His apostles, He declared this to be the blood of the new covenant. The covenant of Christ's blood that covers our sins and makes us right with God. And we remember as well, and we declare that Christ's death, and we are eagerly awaiting His return because we don't believe He stayed that way. But after 3 days, He rose. He rules and He reigns. And there's a day according to the Gospel of John and Jesus' teaching that He'll come back for us, and that where He is will forever be. Friends, I hope you know that to be true. If you do, we invite you to partake of the Lord's table. We believe in the communion of the church. So if you're a believer covered by the blood of the Lamb, we invite you to partake of these elements. If you've yet to trust in the Lord as your Savior, I ask you, please let them pass by. And if the Lord's pricked your heart today, and listen, as Paul says in Corinthians, behold, today is a day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I ask that the deacons move forward as we pray. Father God, I come before you this morning thanking you for the truth of your word.